take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Back-to-back interviews lets us catch our breath here a little bit. So the IHOP hotline is back open now at 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, where you can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP House faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. Glad to be here with you on a Wednesday, on a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday.
Yeah. Look at this right here.
I don't know if this shirt, I've used it before. I don't know if this one technically counts as Hawaiian, but I feel like it is, so I'm going to count it in. You know, it's a good day, to celebrate being loud and, you know, obnoxious Hawaiian shirt wearing Americans. We just came out of an election day, which is always a patriotic day.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about Hawaiian shirt day here on KFA Sports Daily. That's the beautiful thing. You can call it whatever you want. Who are we to judge what somebody else calls a Hawaiian shirt? That's the beautiful thing about our movement.
It is. Everything goes. Everything counts.
Everything goes.
It was election day. It was K-State basketball night. It was also the NFL trade deadline, Paul.
Yep.
Yesterday, the Chiefs have been very active, and I would say so far, but you know, on the returns that they've seen with, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, they didn't trade for him, but they added Kareem Hunt. They've been successful making moves this year. Mm-hmm. We'll see with some of the later moves that they were able to make. One that they didn't make that they were reportedly in on. That's interesting. Probably the biggest move of the day yesterday was that the Commanders went in and traded for a corner, Marshon Lattimore, who's had just a ton of success in this league. And so the Commanders go and solve a need that a great need that they had, a bigger need than the Chiefs need it. And they need it because of injury. But Lattimore comes in there and the reporting is, and I think it was The Athletic and probably others, basically saying the Chiefs were in on him. They were, you know, they're dumb, but they were in on Lattimore and they didn't get him. So I think, and we saw that one. And then we also saw Tre'Davious White get traded to the Ravens. And he's, you know, he's not what he once was, but two high profile corners, we'll call it. The Chiefs don't go make those moves. I thought it was interesting because you wonder if the Chiefs really wanted Lattimore, could they have done it? Now, he would have been a financial fit this year, Paul. He's not owed very much this year, but he would have become a financial burden over the next 2 years. Maybe it was simple as that. Maybe it was as simple as the Commanders were just willing to give more up to get him, but the Chiefs don't land him. So that secondary is what it is now.
Yeah.
You know, we've passed the trade deadline. I don't think you're going to go pick anybody up off the street that's going to make a major impact at that position on the football field. And we did see the Buccaneers kind of pass the ball effectively without their top two weapons. So I do think it's something to watch here down the stretch. I don't think it was so urgent that the Chiefs had to do something. I think there are other things that they can do to help that. Uche comes in, maybe helps the pass rush. You know, Paul, that helps the secondary a great deal.
Right.
But, you know, do you feel like it was a missed opportunity at all on a player like Lattimore?
Well, not really, because here's part of the problem. Right now, just a couple of days ago, I think it was Adam Schaffler who came up with the story. You know where everybody wants to go nowadays? All the players that are looking for a new home, you know where they want to go? They want to go to Washington. They want to be a part of that trend with Jalen Daniels. That's where they want to go. This is a team that right now is sort of the end deal. It's where you want to be. So I'm not surprised that this was a decision made by Marshon Lattimore. I understand it is the soup du jour at this moment. But, you know, you go to the Chiefs and you have a chance to win a Super Bowl, be on an undefeated football team. But, of course, you get right down to it. And what I look at is right now, DeAndre Hopkins was the pick. This was the move for a football team that's competing for a Super Bowl championship. Boy, what a difference he made. By the way, you think they made the right decision after you watched that game the other night with the Bucs? I'm telling you right now, it looks like the guy's 22 years old and was just – he was phenomenal, phenomenal, a difference maker. Isn't that what we've been looking for what, maybe a year or two? Maybe
it's
really,
it's interesting. Yeah, it's I can't believe how good he looked against the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
I was bullish on that move. I thought that move made sense. I think it was the right move. Man, he looked good.
Mm.
And he did. And Tommy and I talked about it. He added something for Mahomes that feels like a rejuvenation, and it's confidence, I think, as much as anything. I mean, Mahomes was firing just missiles in there, knowing that Hopkins is going to catch that ball. I think it adds something for the team they've sorely missed. And as we saw in the big play, the deep ball, he can go make that play too. Mm-hmm. That has been what they've missed a great, great deal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, look, he is going to be a major factor for them. And eventually they're going to get Juju Smith-Schuster back. They might get Hollywood Brown back. Who knows if they could get Rashee Rice back. That'll be a position of strength by the time the dust settles on this. Secondary probably won't be. You know, Trent McDuffie's great, and we'll see. Kind of like left tackle, it's going to be up to some young players to really step up and you know, finish the deal and get better by the time the Chiefs need them to get better. But I would say it amplifies the pressure on Uche, Paul, the pass rusher they added, to be able to generate a little more, you know, pressure to help those young corners over there get up to speed quickly and this not become a deficiency for the defense, which is, you know, we'll watch that closely over these next few weeks. They're going to get challenged by a few good passing attacks.
Right.
Won't be this week in Denver, but, you know, they'll play Buffalo coming up. They'll play Pittsburgh
right. Coming
up. They'll get some challenges on teams that can throw it around a little
bit. Right. Spags is a smart guy. I mean, he knows what's what. You know, he'll be okay. Because what he'll do is he'll start tweaking some zone stuff. You know, if somebody needs some help or somebody needs to be covered up a little bit, you know, he'll tweak some zones and everything. I think everything will be just fine. I think this is still a really good football team. And with DeAndre Hopkins, by the way, did you notice how open the first 10 yards was available for Travis Kelce? I mean, it was almost like, you know, now that you've got a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, my goodness, the things just open up underneath DeAndre Hopkins. It's amazing. It's fun to watch. It's fun to see how that has evolved. And I think it was almost the addition of DeAndre Hopkins is almost like a new lease on life for Travis Kelce, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it is.
I don't know how much I like him taking on 16 targets in a game, which I think was the number without having
That was a lot.
I think it was 16.
Only
because he's older.
Yeah.
I think, though, that Hopkins over time can relieve some of that. And I want to say when Juju comes back, he probably can too. Travis Kelce is capable and he's telling, because he appears to be, Paul, to me anyway, this year, and based on the things that he said in the offseason, he feels more in tune with paying attention to that than maybe in years past. Like, oh, I'm a little bit older, I got to be careful here. If he's telling the Chiefs and the coaches and Patrick Mahomes to pepper him with targets, I'm comfortable with trusting Travis Kelce on that.
Okay.
I do think, though, that they probably would prefer to, you know, to save him up a bit, you know, to let him kind of build up to the postseason. But look, if he wants to get out there and do it and it works and DeAndre Hopkins opens up that part of the offense, go for it. I mean, there's no question that was, to me, Paul, the most impressive offensive performance collectively they've had all year. I mean, the book on Tampa is you throw on them, right, and they've got a good run defense. Well, Kareem Hunt, he rushed for 100 yards. They ran it, I think, 27 times. Like, the Chiefs were able to take a balanced attack to a defense that is very one-sided and kind of impose their will. If Travis Kelce's a part of that and they're all comfortable with it, I guess I am too.
Well, that's a very good point. That's a lot of, because every time you make a catch, you're going to get hit. In fact, every time you're targeted, you're probably going to get it, whether you catch it or not. And that's a lot of wear and tear on a guy that just turned 35 years old in October. So that's a good point, Jacob. I like that point. So, you know, you've got to be careful how you use him. And at first I thought there was sort of like, well, maybe there was a little limit put on Travis Kelce. And we get into the second part of the season, maybe you start seeing that little element, you know, raise its head. I don't have a problem with that. It's probably smart. And then, you know, it's all.
Well, tell me this on a tight end, because I always wonder this. We look at 16 targets and we think, man, that's, you know, maybe he has taken a beating and, you know, all these things. But isn't a tight end kind of always taking a beating? Because when they're not catching passes, they're blocking. right? Well, and they're blocking it.
Now, he doesn't do that all the time because he lines up at so many places. And, of course, he's not that guy. He's not Blake Bell, who much of the time was lined up at a true tight end.
Right, but what I'm saying is, you know, yeah, he's taken a lot of contact as a receiver.
That's right.
But he's also taken a lot of contact when he's just blocking.
Earlier, that's right.
So how much, you know, how much are you really, like, is there much of a difference? You know, you've coached the position. Is there much of a difference as far as like trying to preserve the body?
Sure.
And him blocking versus sure. being a pass catcher?
Oh, there is definitely. And I'm glad you bring that up because part of the situation with that would be simply this. How athletic are most defensive ends? How strong, how quick are most defensive ends? You know, they make their bones, you know, with rips and dips and, you know, all those kind of things, clubs and, you know, they're physical, aren't they? They're physical. For the most part, they're physical. They have to be physical to get around offensive linemen. If you're locked up and you're helping on pass protection or your run defense, you're going to be blocking these guys, particularly on the run. You know, you come off the ball. A lot of bad things happen in the trenches. It's not uncommon to see guys beat to the Dickens, you know, to death after a game who have been playing in the trenches particularly. How would you like to be lined up against Chris Jones every game? I mean, he's going to beat the crap out of you. That's what he's going to do.
Yeah.
He's going to beat the crap out of you because that's what they do, and the good ones do that. So you're right. There's a lot more wear and tear when you're inside the formation. When you're outside the formation, then it's not quite as bad. But every time you're targeted, somebody's going to hit you. Whether you catch it or not, somebody's going to hit you.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not worried about it yet. If that's the way they want to run the offense and Travis Kelce has a ton, good.
That's right.
Great. Who cares? Because if the offense looks like that, that's the best it's looked, and you just kind of trust them at that point.
Right.
But they don't make the move at the trade deadline. Marshawn Lattimore goes to the Commanders. We did see the Ravens at a corner. The Chiefs do not. So sort of like at left tackle, they've got what they've got. And look, they're 8-0. We all understand that. It's also a different sort of year that it is all or nothing, right? It's all about that Super Bowl. So we look at these decisions under a bigger microscope than we probably normally would, but they're 8-0, and they look like the best team in football, and the offense is looking better than it has all year. We'll see if the defense can stay as, you know, dominant as they were early in the year as they get a little thinner. But they did add some reinforcements in the pass rush, and we'll watch all of those things, certainly. But that is the trade deadline. You know, I think, again, this, you know, happened before, but the Lions getting Za'Darius Smith feels probably the most impactful to a team that is contending for the Super Bowl. the Cowboys make a move that is... seems to be pretty terrible. I'll be quite honest as far as what the price that they paid. So it could be worse. You could be doing that and overpaying.
Yeah.
But we'll take a peek at some of the other moves made at the trade deadline when we return. And did it make anybody more of a contender? That's where we'll go next. It's all Brockton Savage. It's Sports Daily. Stay right here. We're coming right back.
Seven five and 1240 KFH.